types of families of two kids you have, each of which was equally likely. What did I tell you when you had a boy? That one of them was a boy. That told me that the family of two girls was not a possibility. Okay? So I have three things, each of which is equally likely. Now, what is the meaning of this? Okay? Well, I know that if it was this family, okay, and the girl came, you know, and a boy came to the door, the other one had to be a boy. If it was this family and a boy came to the door, the other one had to be a girl. If it was this one and the boy came to the door, the other one had to be a girl. Okay? So that's where my one-third is coming from. Okay, any questions?
Question.
Why you don't take into account that there might be two possibilities?
Well, I'm distinguishing between...
And
the point is, this is complicated because there's a couple different kinds of events. Notice that if I had taken this thing and as you knock at the door, the oldest boy, let me put that thing in there, the oldest child answers, a boy. Okay? What is the probability the other child is also a boy? Well, you don't know anything at all about the other child in that case, correct? There's no impact at all if you tell it's the older child. Then, in fact, it's a 50-50 chance to there being a girl. Okay? On the other hand, the fact is that you know that there was a child that answered the door. You don't know whether it's the oldest or youngest. Okay? That, I claim, skews the distribution a little bit. Okay? Any questions? Question. Well, I did distribute between the older and younger boys. Why don't we distribute? Well, we could say that there's a child answers. If you want to distribute it, you could say there's a 50-50 chance that we're assuming there's a 50-50 chance it's the older child and a 50-50 chance it's the younger child. Okay? Suppose it is the older child that answers the door. Okay? Suppose I am told the older child answered the door. Okay? What is the probability then? The older child answered the door, okay, and it was a boy. There would then be, here are the two possibilities, okay, a one-half chance of it, the other one being a boy, which is what you would expect, okay? But here we break in the fact that it could be the older or that it could be the younger, and you've got, therefore there's the order, you know, there's additional information here that's not being exploited. Question. The question is, what is the probability of the, why is it that we bring this in and it's not just sort of a fair, you know, a story about, the question of whether we're talking about independent events or not, okay, the question is, what are we assuming is equally likely? I'm taking this as meaning, okay, that when you see that we're considering this, a boy answering, this is a question about what's the probability in the family, okay? I claim that there that because we haven't distinguished between the older boy or the younger boy, okay, we have to go down. The point is, you're safer breaking it down to the most elementary or most exhaustive listing of the cases you can have. Okay? I do claim that there's a difference between when I tell you that it's the older boy or when I don't tell you that it's the older boy. Okay? If I don't tell you it's the older boy, okay, you don't know that. Somehow it's telling you something about the distribution of the family. Okay? That if I tell you about the, saying it is the older child answers, okay, that's going to be telling me only about that child. When I don't tell you this, it tells you that in fact you've got both that you've got at least one boy in the family. Okay, and that tells you a little bit different information. Okay, question. Right. Now the question here is, you agree that there's three possibilities in the probability space. What you're disputing is what is the weighting of these. Okay? My claim would be the following. Suppose, let's say, I go and tell you that you've got let's say that I've got give you a family. Okay, you have two kids. Behind the screen, I've got a family of two kids. Okay? What are the possibilities? It could be boy-boy, it could be boy-girl, it could be girl-boy, it could be girl-girl, right? What's the probability of each one of them behind the screen? What's the probability it's a girl-girl? A quarter. All of these would be equal, right? Suppose I now tell you, okay, guys, you win. There's no girl-girl behind the screen. Okay? Is the probability of boy-boy now more likely than the probability of boy-girl? Why? Okay, there were four possibilities that were equally likely. I've just told you it's not one of those possibilities. Okay? Which one is now more likely? No. Okay, what I'm saying is, here's my space of possibilities. I want to argue why the probabilities are equal. Okay? You agreed that if I had two people behind the door, didn't show you who they were, all four possibilities were equally likely. Okay? If I now tell you one of those possibilities can't be, okay, and that's what the boy coming to the door is, okay, is telling me that the probability is that that this could not be. They had to all be equal. Now, what you may be saying here is, wait a second, the odds that a boy came to the door is higher in this family than in that family. And that may be what you're trying to bias at, by saying you have more information than this. I'm claiming that if all the story tells me is the information I have is this, then, in fact, my analysis is correct. If what you're telling me is, the fact that a boy came to the door tells me that since there's a 50-50 chance that it could be a boy or a girl, maybe that makes this family more likely. Okay? You've now got to tell me, how do you factor that thing, that information in? You're now making some statement to the effect of, that this is not the information that you have. Okay? I argue that in any little house that I know, if there was a little boy in the house, push ahead, and that would answer the door. Okay? So that would support this model. Okay? But you may not agree. What's the point of this exercise? The point of this exercise is you have to be pretty clear. If we're now arguing about what these probabilities are, okay, we're now arguing about what is the underlying model that this problem is talking about. That is the right level at which to be arguing about. Okay? So the question of, why am I defending this model? Okay? This model is correct if that I'm saying that the information that I have here is that it just tells me that it's a family of two kids without two girls. Okay? Yes. Yeah.
One comes out.
Yeah.
Now you already know that one is a boy. There is
right.
No guessing there.
Right.
So then you're only left with a guess on the guy behind the screen.
Right.
And therefore there's only a 50% chance that the other one is a boy.
Okay. The question here is, again, it's a question of what we're now arguing about, which is a reasonable thing to argue about, is what are the probabilities we're assigning to these elementary events? Okay? And now what I'm claiming is the way the problem means. It defines this probability distribution. If it doesn't define this probability distribution, you get a different answer. Okay? So if, in fact, you're going to be telling me, so the right way to argue is, if this is the probability space, this is the probability that you should agree on. Okay? If you're telling me you don't agree on the probability space, that you read the question a little bit differently, don't want to defend that too strongly. Okay? Okay? I claim that if what, in fact, this is revealing to me is, but now I realize we're now talking about a difference in statistics almost versus probability. The important thing is that once you have the probability space well defined, the probabilities are well defined. If in fact you want to tell me that, no, this is really a probability of a half, this is a probability of a fourth, and a probability of a fourth, then that's a perfectly reasonable, you'll get a different answer that is perhaps a reasonable answer. Okay? But the important thing to see here is that if you want to answer these things without ambiguity, you have to describe exactly what the probability space is. Okay? That's the important thing here. Okay? Question. Say that again?
You just assume that one has to be older than the other.
Well, I'm describing each family. I'm describing my space as families. Okay? Should we assume? Okay. The question is, here we have, okay, again, I don't know if I want to go beating on this anymore. Okay. The bottom line is, what should be clear is, I do have a probability space of families. Right? Okay. That the total space we agree is described as four possible outcomes for a family. The one thing we may disagree on is, what is the probability associated with it? What I'd like to tell you is, probability is hard and it's confusing, and you have lots of these kind of puzzles where everybody gives you a different answer. Okay? The reason they give you different answers often is, one is, people don't agree on the same question. Here we're now arguing basically about the question. Okay? The point being that once you describe your probability space clearly, then at least we can now talk about things in a rigorous way. Okay? A lot of the dangers in probability questions come into mapping between here and here. And when people immediately shout out a number, okay, it's because they didn't go through what this intermediate exercise is. Okay, any question? I don't want to make any more of a claim on correctness than that. Any questions? Okay, good. Okay. So let's continue on a little bit about probability, okay, just briefly. We said an elementary event, okay, were somehow the components of the probability space. An event, we say, is a subset of the probability of the space. And the probability of an event, okay, is going to be the sum, okay, over, if we have some particular set of events, let's say we have an event A, an event is a subset of the probability space. The probability that that event happens is the sum of the probability of all the elementary events in that subset. Okay? Any questions about that? So by we talk about here, we're now talking about the idea of describing more complicated events than our elementary events that define our probability space. Okay? Any questions? A random variable, okay, is a function, okay, typically a numeric function, described on the elementary events of a probability space, okay? So this gives us a way to talk about quantities or so, in some sense, implied by sort of the events of our space. So, for example, we can talk about, if we talk about rolling two dice, S can be the random variable. It is the sum of the two dice. And B can be a random variable defined on the product of two dice. The important thing to see here is that both of these are defined over the same probability space. Okay? It's different ways of reading the probability space. You think of a random variable as being a way that you read the probability space. Okay, or the aspect that interests you. It's just like when we're talking about the generating functions with the dominoes, that we collapsed various levels of detail, these things down to what only interested us. Here, the random variable is a specific function that interests us. Okay, any questions? So here, we can look at two random variables. Here we have the dice, the first dice, the red dice, let's say, from 1 to 6. The blue dice from 1 to 6. Okay. At first, we can talk about the first S is going to be the sum of the random variable corresponding to the sum of the two dice. The second argument is the product of the two. So here we have, sort of sum of 6, product of 9. Okay? Anyway, a random variable is defined by, for every possible value that the random variable can take on, what is the probability that the random variable takes on that value? So random variable is sort of a function. We can now ask, what is the probability that it takes on any particular value of the function? Okay? And so here I claim is the random variable associated with the sum of the dice. The probability you get a 12 is 1 out of 36. That should be agreeable. We could also build a random variable for the product of those two dice. Okay? Any questions? So here, if I have two random variables defined on the same probability space, we can talk about whether or not they are independent or not independent. That's sort of the first question that comes up a lot. Okay? Here we have an example where the sum of the dice and the product of the dice are two random variables. Are they independent random variables, or do they depend on each other? Okay. People say independent. How many people say depend on each other? Okay. Well, most people, what does it mean to be independent? Okay. We say that X and Y are independent random variables, okay, over a particular space. If the probability that X takes on a random variable, X takes on a particular value, and Y takes on a particular value, is always exactly the probability that the probability that X takes on that value and Y takes on that value, times the product of probability that Y takes on that value. Okay? If they're independent, the probability of this happening and that is the probability of this times the probability of that. If this is ever not true, then they are not independent. Okay? Any questions? So are the sums and products of dice independent? My claim is the answer is no. If I pick any pair of these guys, okay, let's take a look at this thing. What is the probability, for example, of this one, that the sum, okay, is 5 and the product is 15? Well, if we look at it, there is no pair here where the sum is 5 and the product is 15. Okay, you'll have to believe me on that, but I think if you count your dice, that's clear. So the probability that both of those things happen is 0, which is certainly not the same as the product of them. Since the probability, you can certainly get a 5 by rolling a 4 and a 1, okay? And you can certainly get a 15 product by rolling a 3 and a 5. So both of those are non-zero. These are not independent quantities. Any questions? Okay? Let's just check it out. Can anybody think of an example of things that are independent, a random variable that might be independent? Let's say I consider rolling two coins. Okay? I have my, let's say coin 1 and coin 2. I can talk about a random variable X is going to be equal to 1 if C1 is heads, and 0 if it's tails. Okay, Y will be it will be 1 if C2 is heads, and the other one is tails. Okay, my probability space would consist of the 4 possible ways of rolling those coins, right? Each of which would be, so I could have heads, 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 tails, tails, heads, tails, tails. The probability of each one of these is a quarter. right? What is the probability that random variable X will be 1? Okay. Well, it's going to be, if I sum up over all the elementary events where it's 1, 1, 2, okay, out of 4, the probability that this is going to be with a probability of 1/2, right? And what's the probability that this is going to be heads? Well, if we sum up over all the elementary events that we have, that's going to be 1/2. What's the probability that C1 ends at X and Y? Well, it should be 1/2 times 1/2 if it's independent. And lo and behold, that is what happens. Okay? Any questions about independence? One of the big problems, there's two big sources of probability problems that make things complicated. One is, as we've seen, probability problems are often ill-defined. The other is people talk about random variables, okay, and they assume that there's independence where there is not, okay? That is something that ends up causing a lot of problems, as we'll see in a little bit. Any questions? Okay. When people look at random variables, okay, there's three different kinds of averages, okay, of random variables that people talk about. By far the most interesting one, at least as far as what we're doing now, is the mean, which is also known as the expected value. The expected value of a random variable, let's say X is a random variable, is we sum up over all elementary events in our probability space, okay? The value of this random variable is, it's a function, the random variable is a function on elementary events. So for each elementary event, the random variable has a value. The expected value is the value of the random variable times the probability on each event times its probability, summed over all events. Okay? Any questions? That should be a concept everybody's aware of. Let's look at some properties of expected values. Okay? One thing that's interesting is that what happens you take two, this is how we define what an expected value is. What happens if we want to figure out the expected value of two random variables? Okay, let's say we have a function, our random variable is a function X plus Y. What do we know? Well, if it's summed on the same probability space, okay, the expected value of X plus Y is if we sum up for X, it's going to be the sum of, for each of elementary event, the value of this random variable is the sum of the X part plus the sum of the Y part. If we do that sum and we're summing over the same probability events, we can break this sum into two pieces. My first claim is that the expected value of two random variables is the sum of their expectations, regardless of whether or not they are independent. Okay? What does that mean? Suppose, let's say I want to know what is twice the number. Let's say I flip a coin once. Okay? What is the expected number of heads I get? Okay, everyone would agree that that's 1/2, right? If I flip a coin once, the expected number of heads I get is 1/2. Suppose I take, I have a random variable that's defined as twice the number of heads. Okay? What's the expected value of twice the number of heads I get if I flip my coin once? Well, that would be 2 × 1/2, or 1. And the reason is, you can think of it as being that we take that random variable, the expected value of that random value plus itself. That would give us 2 × x. Or similarly, the expected value of alpha times X for any alpha is going to be alpha times the expected value. Okay? Any questions? The important thing is, this is clear if the things are independent. The interesting thing is, okay, that products of random variables work out the way they should only if, okay, the products of the two random variables are independent. Okay? So if I ask you, what is the expected value of the product of the product and the sum of two dice? Since we showed that those two random variables are not independent, in fact, you can't just simply compute the expected values of each and multiply them. Why is this? Let's look at our expression for what the product of two random variables are. Expected value of this times of the product of this times this means that for every element in our probability space, we compute the, multiply the probability of that event happening by the value of this on those elementary events. Right? This is what the probability of this random variable is. We go down to the elementary events. For every elementary event, we tabulate what the value of this random variable is times the probability of that event. Okay? Now, what does that mean? Well, another way to think about it is that we could sum up over all possible values of x, okay, that the x random variable takes on, and all possible values of the y variable takes on. We could cluster all these elementary events into bins, depending upon what the value of the x value is and what the value of the y value is. Correct? We would have a certain product of bins. In each bin, we could consider the, what you call it, the product of the two values, times, if we sum up the probability of all the events for which x equals, you know, the random, first random variable equals little x, second random variable equals little y. This is what we get by summing it into bins. Here, if two random variables are independent, then the probability that of this and this happening is the probability of this times the probability of this. Here is where we're going to make use of independence. Up here, we're simply regrouping the events into different categories. So this would be true for any two random variables. But if they're independent, then we can multiply this thing out. Okay, we can compute this as the product of those. Once we have this, we can rearrange the terms, okay? And we end up getting, we can, you know, make this double sum, partition out the y's, partition out the x's, okay? This is the expected value of x, the expected value of y. Any questions? Okay? So the important thing, see, here's the first example of something that depends on where independence ends up coming into an issue, okay? We'll see this again, actually, next class. We'll talk about variance and stuff. And their issues of independence will become even more important. Any questions? Okay, why don't we call it quits here? Think about it, take a look at the notes, and I'll see you guys next class. Any questions? Okay, thanks.